Welcome to OK Sis. We are two cultural observers
and curious minds who happen to be related.
I'm Scout.
And I'm Maddie. Get ready for some serious sororal energy
as we chat about and comment on one another's current fixation of the week.
Ready, sisters? Hello, welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Maddie.
I'm Scout, and we are the sisters behind this wonderful, beautiful, exciting, entertaining, lively, silly, informative podcast.
Wow, that was like an adjective soup.
Well, you know, I know you love adjectives. They weren't like the best adjectives, like they were just the easy ones that came to my mind, but I felt like you would really appreciate that.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of like vocab spelling bee type adjectives, but they will suffice.
How is your vocabulary coming, Mads? Because, okay, wait, question. So we're reading on the iPad now. Like, we've talked about that. We've converted from books to iPad, which I totally am here for, although I kind of miss, like, having the physical book to look at when I'm done, like, lined up on my shelf. But I like the iPad because you can look up the word. But here's the thing. Is I'm looking up so many words that I don't know what the meaning of, but I'm not fucking remembering them 2 minutes later.
Yeah, the only way to remember words is to task yourself or challenge yourself to implementing them within a given time period. So it's just like, all right, here's my word of the day. I challenge myself to say that word and incorporate it in my day today.
Oy.
Which just like doesn't happen, you know? Because like, when the fuck are you going to say...
But I always do that. I'm always like, that's the word I'm going to start using. That's the word. And then I forget it like 2 minutes later.
That's the word. I mean, maybe writing it down. I know looking up on iPads doesn't really like cement it.
I'm going to bed before, I'm about to sleep. You know, I'm not trying to like.
I used to have a word journal.
Of course you would have a word journal.
Used to write the word down many time.
Has that worked? How is your vocabulary?
No. It's sparse.
No, but it's not bad. You're like not, you don't have like, you know, Gia Tolentino vocabulary.
Oh my God. No one has a Gia Tolentino vocabulary.
Very good point, but you don't have like I would consider you to have a good vocabulary.
Oh, wow. You know that is the highest compliment that someone can give me.
No, the highest compliment is that you're intellectual.
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Using big words and intellect equals the same thing.
I mean, not really, just but kidding. We can pretend.
Just kidding. Yeah, so guys, my birthday is coming up. So like if you're looking to give me a compliment, that is the one.
Yeah, her birthday is in what, like 3 weeks? Almost less than 3 weeks?
I'm so stoked, and we're going to Malibu. Wait, what's a Miley Cyrus song? In Malibu, next to you, in Malibu.
Thank you for gracing us with that cover rendition, that artistic expression of Miley Cyrus. We all really appreciate it. But yes, you are about to turn 26, which is wild.
Is that my late 20s?
No, you're still mid.
Okay, good. Thank
God. 27 is starting to be late 20s.
So is mid 20s just 25 and 26?
24 to 26.
I've been in the mid 20s. I thought I was in my early 20s.
You're 25, Mads. That is literally the exact middle of the 20s.
But I thought 25 was the marker of the mid.
24 to 26 is mid, in my opinion. 27 to 29 is late.
Yeah, you're stretching late.
Oh, I'm turning 29 this year. I'm stretching almost 30.
Yeah, you're stretching like you're not even in 20s anymore.
Okay, so in the dismal of COVID, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to plan my 30th birthday, even though it is not till September 2021. But Adam, I was talking to Adam. I was like, so do you know what we're doing for our 30th? And then it like took him a while to compute that I was talking about two birthdays from now. Okay, there's two options we're going for, and you can tell me what you think about it.
Jurassic Park themed.
No, one is to throw a big party, like a small wedding for just close friends and family, and obviously I'd pay for it, like it'd be catered, like, and I want to do Jurassic Park, but I think it'd be more fun to do something like really formal. Glam. Yeah, because we never get to get formal and buy like a nice dress.
Glam.
So I was thinking either that, or I take you, Ben, Adam, and myself on like a week trip somewhere nice.
Whoa. You paying for that for us?
I would pay for a good amount. I would not pay for like the entire
thing. Where are we going? Europe?
No.
Tulum?
Potentially Tulum.
Tulum?
I was thinking like,
I'm going to go to Tulum and have spiritual awakenings. I mean, and just like become with our chakras aligned.
Okay, fuck off, first of all. Second of all, maybe we'll go to Cabo. I don't know.
Oh, fuck.
No, like nice Cabo.
Not like ratchet. Fratty Cabo.
Yeah. So start thinking what I should do. I mean, obviously I know which one you want to do, but that's
no,
what's
but I
stirring.
Think the, I think the small wedding is actually a great idea because I love getting glam.
Right?
Glam.
We never have that option. That's why weddings are so fun, because you get to dress up and find a dress and put makeup on, and it's like exciting, and you're creating an ambiance and a mood. You know, that's so fun.
Mood. Yep. Love it. I do have a observation from TikTok. So, little update. Everyone knows I spend far too much time on that little app of theirs. So there's this new phenomenon called straight TikTok versus elite or advanced TikTok. Okay.
Eye roll.
Why is that eye roll?
Because it's just ridiculous.
Well, I don't make the rules of the TikTok trends. This is just a phrase that has been happening.
Okay.
Also another phrase that I'm going to teach the class called simp. A simp is a guy that is like submissive to a girl, but TikTokers are essentially using it in a negative sense. Like they
whipped.
Yeah, but like they think, yeah, exactly. So they're like, oh, you're a simp for this girl. But it's kind of sad.
So rude.
I know. It's like, you should celebrate being a simp.
Yeah, you found someone that you love so much. I'm sure the woman has the same feelings towards the man if they're in a committed relationship. If not, he's just like wanting somebody. But you should celebrate caring about someone that much.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, no, everyone's kind of making fun of that term. Anyways, so back to my straight versus elite advanced. So straight TikTok means like the Charli D'Amelios, the, you know, JC even, like very... either doing the dances or doing like a day in the life or like my skincare routine. And it's just like pretty girls. You know what I mean?
Which is probably what I would be more under if 100%. I actually did TikTok.
100%. And then the alt advanced is the funny TikTok and like the really like funny, either funny, actively funny or just like observations and hilarious moments in time type of TikTok. So, you know, I'm really trying to understand like where I fall, because yes, I do all the dances, but I feel like I do it in a funny, humorous manner. So maybe I'm in the middle.
I think you're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I think you dabble into both, but you don't necessarily do straight comedy.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, it's just like my face is comedic.
Yeah.
While the dances are happening.
Yes.
To my body.
Okay, so the dances are happening to your body.
I'm going
to
say I'm in the mid.
I'm going to make a new word for you.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, what should we call it?
Well, give me a little bit.
Straight versus elite. What about mediocre?
Okay, you are mediocre.
Mediocre TikTok.
Mediocre Mads.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds awful.
Well,
okay.
You're the one that came up with the word, not me.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just wanted to share that with the class. I think everyone needs to know. You know, we should make a segment called Gen Z Market Research, and I'll just kind of like spew my wisdom.
Okay. As I almost enter my 30s, I will continue to do Gen Z Market Research.
Yes.
Okay, sisters, I wanted to let you guys know that we had Whitney Eckes on the podcast last year. She is a social marketing guru. She also owns Eckes Marketing, and we teamed up, Whitney and I, to launch an ebook about how to start a business. We are super, super passionate about helping women start the podcast, the blog, the agency, whatever it may be. And I think that a lot of people get so overwhelmed with where to start that they don't even take that first step. So we created Everything We Wish We Knew Before We Started Our Own Agencies, me with Scout Agency, her with Eckes Marketing. And it has everything from how to name your business to, you know, what platforms you need to use to run your business, like how to invoice clients, how to cold pitch emails, how to brand your business for like very cheap, like things that you should be spending your money on in the beginning versus things that you shouldn't, how to write a mission statement, checklists, like worksheets. Like, it's really fucking good and it's super fucking cute, if I may say so myself. Mads, you can let me know about the branding, but you didn't buy it, so that's cool. And the best part is that it's only $9.99, which is the whole point, is that we wanted to make it accessible for you guys. So you can follow us at Spark and Seek, or you can click in the show notes. I'll have a link there if you guys want to purchase it. If you're thinking of, or if you have a side hustle, thinking of starting a side hustle and want to take it to the next level, we got you.
Wow. Women in business.
Have you even looked at like one picture of it?
Yes, I've seen the title of it, and it's very trendy.
Thank you.
Yes, very compelling for those who are looking to start the business.
The business.
The business of their dreams.
Or the content creation.
The content creation of their dreams.
Okay, that's great.
I sound like my grandma. The way I'm sitting, can you see my vagina like this?
No.
Okay, good. All right, fabulous. So let's see. Housekeeping. Let's do this like real quick. Okay, let's do it like real quick.
Okay, while you continue to say real quick, I will get through the entire thing.
Okay, go.
Sisters, number one thing that we want to talk to you about today is we would love it if you know someone who would like Okay Sis, if mm-hmm. you would text them our podcast. That's number one. Number two, we have a secret Facebook group. It's going off. Girls are becoming friends. Did you see that post the other day? This girl was like, hey, I want to make friends. And now, like, all these girls are becoming friends. It's
because,
so rad.
Yeah, because it's a fucking great community.
It's so rad. Anyways, it's Okay Sisters. All this is in the link in the show notes. And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Okay Sis Podcast.
Twitter.
And don't follow us on Twitter, just Instagram. And subscribe, rate, review. Woohoo. We love it when you rate.
And I'm creating a new segment on our Instagram for reviews. So if you want to get your review posted on our Instagram, I would recommend writing a really funny one.
Oh yeah, we did talk about the girl who binged all of Okay Sis in 9 days. Incredible. Yes. We love you. Yes. Anyways.
I still hold that Game of Thrones was a little more intense, but anyways, so also we have Girl Gang the label, we have some merch, we have cute little sweatshorts, you know how sweatshorts are in, and
crop tops, bucket hats,
mugs, all the things,
and it says support your sisters and use code Okay Sis for 20% off.
20. Anyways,
so let's talk about this episode because we've been excited about this for you. This is like a big one for you.
Well, I hope it's a big one for you too.
It is. But like you, like really have been fangirling over Esther for a long time.
So, girls, sisters, lovelies, my babies,
your babies. Yeah. Okay,
we had Esther Pavitsky on the motherfucking podcast, and wow. I think I don't really have many words because, as you mentioned, I've been fangirling over Esther. First discovered her from her show Alone Together, and then obviously loved Glowing Up and that podcast, and have just been trailing her and supporting her for all this time in her comedy. So she came on to talk about her new comedy special that's coming up on Comedy Central. Just so you know, she did mention the date in this episode, but it actually hasn't come out yet. So just keep your eyes out. Follow her.
You should follow her on Instagram.
She'll like be blasting it everywhere. And I'm so excited because she is so deserving of her own special.
She is.
And she's just the cutest little button. She's hilarious.
Such a button. That is the best way to describe Esther. She's so fucking cute. Anyways.
Wow. Oh my God, that was bad. I feel like I've said anyways, I think 50,000 times.
And then we say it
intro
at the same time.
It's awful because it's really a bad. We're trying to be transition. We need to get better at that.
We need to get better at our transition. Transition queen. Okay, anyways. We hope you Oh, God damn it.
Oh, okay. So here we go. Listen. Here we go. Esther Pavitsky, you asked. We delivered.
Okay, I thought we were going to end there, but we didn't. Okay, enjoy, sisters.
Enjoy.
A fixture of the LA comedy scene, Esther's first comedy special, Esther Pavitsky, Hot for My Name, will premiere on June 5th on Comedy Central. Most recently, Esther starred opposite Kat Dennings in Hulu's series Dollface, which has been renewed for season 2. She also co-created, co-starred, and executive produced the Freeform show Alone Together, which ran for 2 seasons on Freeform. Esther was named one of Variety's 10 comics to watch in 2017 and performed at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal, returning to the showcase that launched her career as a new face in 2013. She's had recurring roles on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Love, and Difficult People. Additionally, she's guest starred in Brooklyn 99, Workaholics, Key and Peele, and Lady Dynamite. Without further ado, Esther.
What?
Little Esther!
You guys, I already feel like we're at a sleepover. Like, I'm so excited.
That is the vibe that we are always trying to emulate. So, thank you.
We all have an oversized tie-dye item on. I see your bed. Like, this is just, I'm ready to stay up all night. And then the first one who falls asleep is getting Sharpied on, for sure. Yeah.
That's me. I will be asleep by 8:45 on the dot. And that'll be you and Mads will be up until 4 a.m. chatting.
So you guys are in New York, right?
No, I'm in
San Diego. And I'm in Los Angeles.
Is it just your New York accent and your like building window? You guys are like giving me New Yorker vibes.
Oh my God.
Okay, so we sometimes we get that. I think it's the Jewish part of us, to be honest. Like, I think that's, we get that. People always say that, Mads. Like, are you from the East Coast? But I think it's because we're loud and annoying.
We're like emo, kind of, and like hard. I don't know what it is about it. But no, we're from San Diego. We're from Southern California. This is West Hollywood that you're seeing. So this is like my alleyway in West Hollywood.
I've been totally duped. I was like, I thought we were all in Manhattan, you know, like for the night. Wow.
No,
we're in Southern California. I don't even know you guys. I don't even know you two.
We had a stint in New York. We each went to college in New York for a year. And we're like, peace out, and came back to California.
We were like, not for us. We're out.
Yeah, I relate.
Yeah. A little backstory. I'm a huge fangirl. Hi, my name is Maddie, and I'm an Esther fangirl. We're going to get into glowing up because, you know, that is where I first got the glimpse. I got a catch of the Esther bug. And then Alone Together fan. We're going to get into all of it. You're so special to me, and we're just so privileged to have you on the pod today.
And that is a love note if I've ever heard of one.
I feel so safe. I've never felt so safe. I feel held. I love it.
Dude, that's my positive affirmation right now that my spiritual coach is making me repeat over and over again. I am safe. I am safe. So I really appreciate that.
Your spiritual coach. That's one I have not heard of yet.
Yeah. You know, I've graduated from 14 years of therapy, and I am entering into the life spiritual coach world. And I'm here to say it's great. It's a lot better. So that's where I'm at in my life.
I'm so drawn to your vibe of spiritual coach, your tie-dye sweatshirt. I've created a whole narrative about you. Like, you grew up on the East Coast, and you're a doer and a sayer and a thinker. I want to know what's next for you.
Spiritual elevation. That's what's next. Unlimiting my conscious mind. Okay, I don't know that much about spirituality. I'm not that great at it, but I'm trying.
Oh my God, I love this. Okay, let's get into current fixations.
Yes.
Okay, so mine is, on a few episodes ago, or I don't know how many episodes ago, I talked about my Olive and June at home manicure fiasco. Much love to them. Love them. Great product. So I told a trouble story that I went through because it took 2 months to get me my at-home manicure kit. And quite frankly, the salon's probably opening tomorrow. But I was doing my nails last night. Like, my husband was like leaving me alone because like this was the moment that I got to do my nails. And they have a nail polish remover, and it's a cute little pink jar. And you open it up, and there's like a sponge in it. And so I was like trying to take the sponge out. And I was like, you know what? Let me read the directions first. And I read the directions, and it said you just stick your finger in the sponge. And I'm like, so when you usually do nail polish remover, like, it takes a little bit to get it off. You know what I mean? Like, you're scrubbing. This one, you put in, you go woot woot twice, pull out, your nail polish is off your nail. It's unbelievable. I don't know how I'm going to do my toes with it, but it's amazing. So I highly recommend this nail polish remover. It's like nice. I don't know if it's organic, not sure, but it has some sort of label like that. And
I have tried that. From Sephora, the Sephora brand makes that. It's the kind where you dip in, you twist. It's a game changer. You're like, what if I've been scrubbing my ass off on these fucking nails for all these years?
This is a scientific achievement.
The mechanism of the future is so wonderful. That's such a good fixation. I applaud.
You guys are blowing my mind. I have never even heard or seen this. I know the Olive and June package. I mean, they're like flying off the shelves these days, but I didn't know that this was an element of it.
Yeah, I'll FaceTime you tonight because I'm going to switch my nail color. I'll show you how it works.
Okay, I'll figure it out. I just ordered the Color Camp at home manicure set, so I will let you guys know how that goes, but I was just about to do my sizing. I'm very excited.
Ooh, I do love Color Camp. A little pricey, but into the at-home edition.
Right? Isn't this almost like the fixation itself? It's like the fact that we're getting to do all these at-home versions of things. I'm like, this is cool. This is exciting. I don't like sitting at the nail salon. I know a lot of girls don't mind it. It's so boring. I hate it. I'm like, if I can have a great manicure at home, this is very good.
Yeah, I agree. Wholeheartedly. I know it's interesting to think about all the things that we're going to become like independent of, and we are going to be able to do ourselves now through quarantine, and that like after we're going to be like, fuck no, I plucked my own eyebrows. Actually, no, I'm going to have to go to a European Wax Center.
Yeah, sure. My eyebrows, I took an up close photo and it's ruining myself.
It's unruly. Okay. So my current fixation, so I thought that since we have the queen of all things glowy, I thought I'd do a little skincare current fixation.
Yes,
so
please.
I have been in the market for a new moisturizer for a while now, especially one that I can put on after retinol. So I use Shawnee Darden's retinol. Everyone knows we love Shawnee. And retinol is known to be very drying. So I was looking for something that is, you know, a very hydrating moisturizer, but not too heavy because I don't want to break out. So at the Sephora sale, I purchased the Sunday Riley's Tidal Brightening Enzyme Water Cream. Okay, guys, this shit is like, it feels like a light pillow on your face, and it's like plumping, but light, airy, but moisturizing. It's completely soothing. I highly recommend if you've never gotten into this moisturizer, it's it.
I feel triggered that there was a Sephora sale and you didn't tell me about it.
How do you just not know about these types of things?
Because you know I don't know about anything. And I
feel like
I love
to know about the VIB is a little bit your responsibility. A little bit. Like, it's still your friend's job to tell you, but like it's also kind of your responsibility to know when that's happening.
It's every man for every man.
I don't
for
know
himself.
Anything.
Like you I am like rouge. Am I rouge? I'm rouge. I am up. I got 20% off. Oh God, it was an incredible sale.
Well, I'm gonna just piggyback on that. This is not my fixation that I prepared, but I will say that in terms of a new moisturizer that is rocking my world, because I'm a dry skin girl. The Drunk Elephant F-Bomb in the blue, with the blue lid, is so fucking good, okay? Like, I know they call
so
it
good.
A hydrating mask. No. I'm using this as my moisturizer. It's what you said. It really has that, like, light, soft, that just, when you said water cream, I'm like, yeah, that's a sensation I want and I get to experience with the Drunk Elephant F-Bomb. So good.
I use it last night and I woke up and I was washing my face and I was like, God damn, this is soft. This is butter right now.
It's baby's ass. It's everything you want.
Wait, do you use it in the morning
too?
No, I do
it at night and I like to just be really generous with it so that I wake up kind of like, ooh, did the sprinklers, did the neighbor's sprinklers leak into my room? Am I just this moisture? Oh no, I'm gonna sneeze. Excuse me. Do you guys have bad allergies? Is it just me?
Nope, me.
My fixation, which is something we already talked about, tie-dye myself, doing it myself is meditative. It's creative. It's relaxing. And having all your old stupid shirts that you never wore now be so cute and look like they cost $140. Like, that's where it's at. My fixation is tie-dye.
We are with you. Amen. It's so funny because I haven't done the tie-dyeing. My roommates have been very much into the DIYing and the crafts. So I purchase the sweatsuits and then I give it to them and then they have been the ones to tie-dye. So hats off to you for getting your hands dirty. Scout and I are not craftsmen.
I'm just going to purchase.
I support that. Look, I support that. I respect nothing more than someone who's okay, I love that vibe and that energy, and I'm only doing it now because it serves me to do it myself. But if it didn't, you know damn well I would make my quarantine partner like get his hands dirty and do it for me, because it's such a good feeling to make someone do your work for you.
Yes, I'm gonna amen that. I have my husband making me lattes and pour overs every
what
day
kind of
in quarantine, so. He got an espresso machine for free off Craigslist in LA. He made my stepdad get it for him. And then he drove up to LA and then he fixed it up for $200. And now we have like a whole thing. We got a grinder. We got a frother. We got like, he's roasting his own beans. Like, it is a coffee shop in my house.
Wow. If you have a free espresso machine from Craigslist, you probably definitely have the COVID antibodies.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the point, to get the antibodies. You know what I mean? It was strategic.
You guys are like fourth grade. What is it called? Fourth wave coffee shops. You guys are like fifth wave.
Yes.
Well, all I know is that my spiritual coach said I have to down the coffee, but this is happening in the mecca of coffee in my apartment. So I'm torn between two worlds.
Esther, that actually brings me to a good point. You were the first person I heard talk about oat milk. And look at the world now.
I know. It's crazy what I've done, what I've created.
This is what you've done. Like, I exclusively drink oat milk. No idea if it's doing anything different than almond milk, but I don't know, something about it feels like heartier and I can't get off it now. I'm an Oatly girl through and through.
It's just so fucking creamy and delicious. Like I was right before oat milk like hit the scene, I was on the search for the best dairy-free latte and I was driving to this ice cream shop like on the other side of town that at 11 a.m. they opened and they made these almond milk lattes. And then they like discontinued, they made this really creamy almond milk and then they discontinued it and then they changed their hour. They like just did all, it made it so hard for me to get this latte. I was like jumping through so many hoops to get a good latte. And then I tried oat milk and I was like, oh, this is it. Like, it's finally accessible. And that's when I like got my espresso machine and was like, I can do this. I am my own coffee shop. It's just that oat milk is so creamy and it gives you the experience that regular milk gives you, but also like with a natural hint of sweet. It's so, oat milk latte, I have it every day, but now sometimes I'll do half oat, half coconut to get like the healthy fat from the coconut milk, but you cut it with the oat milk flavor so it's not all coconutty. Mm-hmm. Coffee is a drug and that's why I talk about it like this, so.
No, it is.
Okay, so let's talk 100%. About your quarantine vibe. I wanna hear about your mood, kind of what you've been experiencing during this time. Are you doing okay? Are you not doing okay? What's up?
I was having a mental breakdown before this started, so I'm kind of like on cruise control going in. Let me just explain to you. So in December, I finished my year, right? Like I'd shot Dolphin, went on tour to get ready for my stand-up special. I shot my special. We edited my special. I was wiping my hands. I was done. And I was like, wow, like I just did like all these things I've always wanted to do. Okay. But like, that's weird. I like achieved my dreams and it didn't solve all my problems. Like I still feel anxious and like, don't know what to do now. And it's like, I'm the same. What's going on? And I had this big realization that like, these entertainment career things were not going to fix my problems. And it kind of made me freak out a little because I'm like, now what the fuck do I do? I don't know how to do nothing. Like, I'm just kind of felt like a mess. And so I was really anxious. And then I started reading about this fucking pandemic and I was like getting really scared. And I'm like, nobody's talking about it on the news. What's going on? And then finally like it all kind of blew up here and everyone was like staying at home and stuff, and I think just kind of knowing that okay, we're doing what we can, I'm just gonna stay home and get having that guidance, knowing what I was going through, I actually started an antidepressant. I went on Lexapro because I was just so anxious about everything. And now I'm kind of getting into a groove of like, okay, I'm taking a break from entertainment, mostly because the whole world is like, we can't do anything. And I'm like learning how to cook and I'm tie dyeing and I'm FaceTiming with my friends and I'm playing video games. So I'm really just trying to like, and I'm vacuuming, like I'm just trying to do nothing and like have hobbies for the first time and just kind of like become a person again, if that makes any sense. So that's how I'm trying to like manage it, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot there for sure. I think that like it's interesting that once you slowed down, you were like, oh, that didn't solve anything, and probably it prolonged the healing process anyways. But so it all maybe, I mean, in a weird way, you had that realization and then the universe was like, ha ha, you're staying in your house.
But that is something that a lot of people don't talk about, which I'm really glad you touched on, is when you achieve your dreams, sometimes it's because you've idealized it your entire life in your head. You think of these major expectations of it and what it's going to feel like and what it's going to solve. And when you get there, it reinforces the whole notion of it's the journey, not the destination, right? And it's just kind of a really weird rude awakening because you're obviously this incredibly accomplished person in Hollywood and comedian, and it's crazy to hear that people even like at your level can feel these things.
Well, it's like the Oscar. When people win the Oscar, the next day they're super depressed because they don't understand like where to go now. Like they've reached a pinnacle that they've been working towards their whole life, and then after they totally crash, you know, like when you're on such a high, you're inevitably crashing because you have to balance out.
Right. And it's weird talking about this because I feel like I sound like I think I'm like Britney Spears and like I've toured the world and all my fans love me and I'm the girl from the Lucky music video. Like it's like I fucking was on a sitcom. Like, okay, settled. I was the fourth lead on a sitcom, settle down. But like that was everything to me, and that was all I ever wanted. And so, yeah, it's I'm saying it more as a way of like, I don't know, like if people are out there and like want to achieve things, fix yourself right now, because you're not going to fix the achievement doesn't fix you. Like, and it's a bummer, and I still feel grateful and happy and excited that I'm getting to do what I wanted to do all this time, and I still want to keep doing it. But now I have to like learn how to just be a fucking human and then not be anxious and not think that these things are all that matters and that they're going to fix me, because they don't fix you.
For me, it was moving. So I would just move cities and I would think like, oh, that'll make me better. And it's just the environment and whatever. And it would be exciting in the beginning and I'd love my new place and like whatever. And then 2 months in, the same fears would come up, the same anxieties, the same depression. And it doesn't matter what environment you put yourself in, like you will follow yourself.
Wow, I have a very similar thing with moving too. That's, I feel like you've gone through your shit. I have a lot to learn from you and your spiritual coach.
It's a whole thing. I'm bipolar, so I've been through the ringer for a long time, but it's still happening, still going through it.
Okay, so I want to do a hard transition. A staple in the podcasting world, it seems like. Like, you were in it from the beginning. You had Little Esther, then you had Esther's with Adults. Weird Adults. And then obviously Glowing Up, and then now you have a new podcast. It's just... it's never ending. So kind of talk to us about why you had this foresight to enter into the podcasting space before it kind of blew up to what it is now.
I think I just noticed that I think podcasting had just launched, and the fact that it was so new is what drew me to it. Cause I'm like, what is this? Like, anyone can do this? Like, okay, well, I'm here in LA, like doing open mics and making videos, like I should just do this too. Why wouldn't I add this to the package or whatever? So I just started doing it, and I've kind of been like in and out of podcasting for a while. But I just think it's a great medium, and I think it's become so much better too. Like, now there's so many different podcasts, but back then it was really like, back then I launched my podcast and it was like number one on iTunes. Like, there was no competition. Now that I launched Esther Club, it's like so different. It's very different. But I'm just a fan of it now. Like, I love listening to people talk. I love listening to crime shows. I don't know. I think podcasts fucking rule. Like, it's so cool that you can it's like a cheat. Like you can listen to it while you do other things. Like, I don't know. I like that so much more than TV because I don't like sitting still and just focusing on one thing. That's how my whole quarantine is. Like, I need two things at once, right? Like, I need my podcast and I need my video games, or I need my FaceTime with my friends and my cooking. Like, I need to combine two activities. One has my mind somewhere and one has my hand somewhere.
That is so true.
That's a good point.
It is like multitasking. You don't listen to a podcast while you're just like sitting down and just staring at this feeling. Like, you have to kind of be doing something at the same time. So it feels like you're also accomplishing more when you're just like folding laundry because you're bettering your mind.
Totally.
Yeah, I listen to a podcast in the morning when I shower and then get dressed and then make breakfast and wash my face. Like my whole, that part of my morning routine, there's always a podcast going on, which I feel like grounds my day. Or just, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, can I just not with the sense, like the, what's it called? Not the sensory, yeah, like the word I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
overstimulation. Stimulation. Like, can I just not with the stimulation and just like wash my face? But other times it feels right and it feels motivational and grounding and educational or funny and entertaining and whatever you want it
to
be.
Can I ask you, what part of your morning routine do you start listening to a podcast? Like, do you roll out of bed or do you listen, like, when do you start it?
So the first thing I do when I wake up is I pour my coffee and then I do morning pages. So I don't look at my phone and then I write for like 1 to 2 pages in my notebook, just stream of conscious, whatever comes to mind. And then if I feel like it, I'll do a morning gratitude meditation and then I'll either pull a card from my deck or read a page of the Daily Stoic. And then I check usually my text messages and my social media. And then I put my podcast on to shower, wash face, get dressed.
So impressive. Wildly impressed. I did not expect to be this impressed.
Scout and I are huge morning people. We're very like morning routine oriented folks.
What's your morning routine?
So I wake up, coffee and read for about an hour, and then gratitude. We're huge gratitude whores, so we express gratitude every day just to check ourselves. And then I'll work out, and then I'll start podcast to get ready, shower, yada, yada.
Yeah, we even text each other sometimes what we're grateful for, but I usually journal it, but we'll text each other.
What's your morning routine, Esther?
Oh my God. Well, in the quarantine, first of all, my fiance and I have been sleeping in separate rooms because he stays up till 5 a.m. and I wake up at like 8 a.m. And is that what, are you like that?
Well, your husband.
Yeah, my husband goes to bed at like 2 to 4 in the morning.
Yeah. So I've been sleeping on my couch in my office. I know it sounds so psychotic, but it's like so comforting to me. It makes me feel like quarantine is like a never ending sleepover. Like I play video games. I talk to my friends. I fall asleep on my couch. So basically my morning routine is I wake up and then I text my group of friends and then we immediately start a FaceTime and one of them has already been up for 3 hours. So he's already like yelling about coronavirus and he wakes me up with like a Facebook fight he got into. And then my other friend is like, I just left my fucking meditation to listen to this shit. What am I doing? And then they get me going. And then I go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, like all while on a FaceTime with two people yelling at each other. And then go upstairs, make my coffee. They're still yelling, make breakfast. And then when they like get too tired, then I give them a break. And then I put a crime, like a Dateline or something on, and then just kind of, you know, calls. But it's like I spend the first half of the day in the kitchen, like, okay, what can I prep for the day? What can I experiment and try? Like, my quarantine is all about like learning how to cook because I never cooked a single meal for myself before this. I spent so much fucking money on restaurant food. It's disgusting. And so that I'm like, this is how I fake that I'm productive, is I'll just like learn how to cook. That's a skill. I'll use that for the rest of my life. That's an expensive skill. So I'm really productive.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the morning FaceTime is a podcast in itself.
It is a live just for me podcast where I can comment and be like, this is boring, change it. I'll be like this. Like my friend's like, what do you think, Esther? I'm like, I think this is boring. Let's talk about something different. And then my friend Annie, she's like, Esther, you're a fucking comedy fan. She's like, you're not a comedian. You're just a fan. You just expect us to entertain you for free. And I'm like, yeah, bitch. You guys don't have stages anymore. I'm your audience.
I am, yeah. I love it. You know, something that I've been seeing around, especially in LA on like billboards is, and I guess in the quarantine, is this phrase hashtag alone together. So
crazy, right?
I know. So like, have you guys, has there been like an insurge of views at all? Or like,
I don't know, but I definitely see a ton of social media messages where people are like, Esther and Benji did this first. Like, it's weird. And I got an email a couple months ago from someone at Comedy Central, and the email was like, had Alone Together in the title. And I was like, oh, is Comedy Central gonna like air the old episodes of Alone Together? And then they're like, no, this is our like,
this is like
coronavirus.
Yeah, this is bullshit. Like the campaign. Yeah.
Like,
should have copywrote that shit. Collected royalties everywhere.
I'm finally seeing Alone Together trending on Twitter, but I wish it was for the right reason.
Oh my god. So okay, Alone Together was just so precious, and just it was such a special show. And obviously super bummed that it is no longer. But are you and Benji still collaborators? Do you guys still work together, or how does that partnership go?
You know, Alone Together was kind of like our thing, you know, like our collaboration was that. It wasn't like we did a bunch of stuff together. It was more like, this was our story together about our friendship, where we were not attracted to each other and everyone thought we should be. And so that was kind of our thing, and we haven't really made anything else since. I feel like we kind of told that story, and yeah, now I work with my friend Nick, who's my producing partner on my special, and we wrote a movie together, so we're trying to figure out how to get that made. I mean, that was already a challenge before the pandemic, so now I really don't know, but yeah, that was kind of our thing together.
Okay, I have to ask. Yeah. Do you get a discount at Reformation?
No, I don't. Isn't that fucked up?
So yeah, so for people that don't know, Benji's sister is the founder of Reformation, and when I put two and two together, I was like, Esther's probably dripping in Reformation, but no,
isn't that fucked up? Like, our whole friendship was just me being like, get me free clothes, bitch. Like, what are you doing? And I started to think, never asked. Like, he was always like, I can't. And I think I honestly think he, like, can't get in touch with his sister because she's so much cooler than him that he just wasn't able to ask her or was, like, afraid to ask her. But I do love Reformation, and I love their social media. I think they're great. I absolutely love it. And I've been buying their masks. I love Reformation. But I love
Reformation.
Not from Benji at all. I mean, it's like, well, what's the point then?
What is the point?
Yeah. Wasted
Why
friendship.
Did we make this TV show? There's no need for it.
Okay, I want to talk about your Comedy Central special, which is insane. What was the first thought that ran through your head when Comedy Central was like, let's make a special?
Oh no, now I have to tell my parents that they have to be in it. Because we pitched the idea to Comedy Central, so my parents are in it. And when we pitched the idea, and then they were immediately like, yes. And I hadn't asked my parents yet. So I had to be like, so guess what? I have great news. Like, I'm going to have a stand-up special. They're like, wow, that's so cool. I'm like, yeah, you guys want me to have a stand-up special. That's great, right? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. So you have to let us come to your house and film you. And they were like, they tried not to. They're like, we don't think it's a good idea. And I'm like, well, that's how it's going to go. So I'll buy you some meals and you'll be grateful for your time on camera.
Our dad would be all over that shit. He would be like center stage. He'd run onto the stage. He'd stand in front of the camera. That's like his dream.
But yeah, but your parents, I've seen you post about them, and I think the best thing you've ever posted about them was when you had the footage from, I think, your dog camera or something. And it's just like them in just like, I don't even know how to describe it. They're just like in snuggies or something sitting on the couch.
They're so weird. I had a dog that I couldn't take care of back when I was like 21. So don't blame me. I was young and stupid. And so I had to give my dog to my parents. And I really missed this dog forever. Like it was so sad. I always wanted to see him and I wasn't quite ready to get my own dog yet. So I was like, can I please install a camera in your living room so that every time I miss Pepper, I can like log onto the camera and just see him sleeping? And they're like, no. And then finally, like they felt bad for me and they let me do it. So I was like, okay, great. But then I started to check the camera and I would see my parents like flossing their teeth together on the couch watching TV. And I'm like, oh, we're on to something. We found it. And if you can find my Seth Meyers clip, if people are listening, I want to see. When I was on Seth Meyers, I showed like screen grabs from it. But so basically, like that kind of inspired it because I was like, my parents are weird, and I felt like if I was going to do a comedy special, I wanted people to get to know me in different ways than just my stand-up. So that was kind of what made us decide to include them in it. And honestly, like, I think they're the funniest part of the special. Like, I don't know who makes a stand-up special and then tells you that their stand-up is the least funny part, but it really is. Like, my parents steal the fucking show. And it's all real. Like, my favorite show growing up was The Osbournes. And I love that show had no setups. It was very real. So that was, like, that was our goal and intentions and how we shot this stuff.
I mean, that's amazing, first of all. But I'm sure the stand-up part is equally as fantastic. But what do you feel before you go on stage and present a stand-up? Because every time I watch stand-up, I'm like, damn, they memorized that entire thing. Like, that's a lot. Do you get nervous? Like, what goes through your – do you have a routine before you jump on the stage? What's going on in your head before?
So, for the special, I, like, ran that same set over and over again and tweaked it. And just – you practice it so much that, like, you can't let yourself fail. You know, it's the kind of thing where you're not going to leave anything up to chance. You just practice so you know it. Because it is so much pressure and it is scary and stressful. So that's why, like, the most important thing, like, once I clicked and decided I was going to do a special, it everything just became about practicing that and being ready for it.
And you have been known to be at the Comedy Store and be at every single, like, comedy club in LA almost like every night. Like, you are always there. I've seen you at the Comedy Store. And
oh, that's nice. You didn't say hi.
I actually did say hi, but
wait, I think.
Oh my God.
I thought you looked familiar.
No, you do.
No, I swear to God. I thought I might know you, but then I'm like, I don't know how.
Well,
I don't think Esther would lie about something like this. She doesn't strike me as the one that would lie.
We were coming in late and you were outside or something. And then my boyfriend was like, you have to tell her that you love her. I was like, oh God. And
That's so embarrassing when people do that.
Yeah. And I'm like, let her fucking be. She's about to do a comedy. Like, let her be. And then he was like,
but like when someone calls you out and they're like, she's like, when my fiance will do that, I'd be like, she really loves you. No, like, it's really, she loves you so much. I'm just like, okay, now they think I'm a psychopath. Like, and they'll never see me as a human again. Thank you. I know how that is.
No, but I do want to talk about, because, you know, I love watching comedy. I love going to it. And it's, you see such dedication in the performers, and you guys are up there multiple times a week and like going from Comedy Store to Laugh Factory to Hollywood Improv, like in one night. Like, how is it just like you're so obsessed with it and it's such a passion of yours and you're just, it's like a drug to you guys. Cause it's, I mean, you have to work so hard at it. And I see each one of you like just killing it all over town.
I think that some people are definitely addicted to it more so than others. Like I was like that when I started doing open mics, like it was my whole world and it was all that I could think about and all I wanted to do. So I was like that. I feel like I'm less like that now, but when I get into a certain stand-up mode, then yes, I can do that. I was like that a lot last year where I would just go every night and my boyfriend / fiance, here's the thing. So my fiance, I literally forced him to propose to me and then now we've been engaged for 2 years and I refuse to marry him. We're just playing some kind of game. We're in a power struggle. And so I'm so sick of calling him my fiance. I think he has to go back to boyfriend. Right? It's a pandemic. We're not getting married. Like, so my boyfriend fiance would be like, why do you keep, he's like, you don't need to keep going every, he's like 7 nights a week. You're out. It's weird. Yeah. So sometimes I get into that, but then other times, like right now, I'm totally fine sitting at home and not doing stand up. Like, it's just fine.
I have to tell you the story of when I did an open mic for the first time, and I'm sure I've told this on the podcast, but you're just going to love it. So I wanted to read my poetry at like poetry open mic nights. And so I was 21 and I told my mom, I said, Mom, you have to come with me. Like, oh, I'm afraid, God. Like whatever. And so I found an open mic night on the internet in Los Angeles and we went and it was this Rastafarian cafe, like totally Jamaican.
Were you living in LA?
Yeah, I was living in LA for a few months then, and we went there, and they said that the open mic didn't start for 2 hours. They posted the wrong time on the website, and my mom was like, well, we're not going back. This is LA. Like, fuck it. We'll just sit here and eat some Jamaican food and wait. And then while we were eating, they passed the sign out sheet and I didn't even get to it until like, so I was like the sixth person. I was like, I've been here forever, guys. And then, okay, so I'm like so nervous and the first guy goes up and he's a comedian and he's terrible. And then the second guy goes up and he's a comedian and it's terrible. And then the third guy goes up and he's a comedian. And I look at my mom and I say, Mom, it's fucking comedy night. And she says, I don't give a fuck what night it is. You're getting up there. And so I go up and perform a poem about a sexually abused woman comparing her tongue to a knife. And the room was silent. And it was really traumatizing for me. And I kind of, you know, was like, that's the end of my open mic career.
Well, I love that your mom was like, no, you're going up there. Like, that is almost my favorite part of the story. Like, your mom pushed you is so funny.
In the Jamaican themed Rastafari.
Your one and only experience with an open mic. Yeah, no.
Yeah. When? I don't know how you do it, Esther. It's terrifying. Okay. When was it? This was, let's see, this was 7 years ago because I'm 28 now.
Wow. What a beautiful story.
Yeah.
So okay, wait, but I want to touch on glowing up because I just have some questions that need to get answered. First of all, how did you meet Caroline? Because your guys' energy was so palpable between you two. Not only was this an incredible podcast about skincare and beauty, but you both are comedians, have this added humor that it was just, I could have listened to you guys speak about fucking anything. It didn't even have to be about beauty. But how did you guys meet and where did that idea come up from?
So Caroline was a writer on Alone Together season one. So we actually met on like a kind of like a girls' night, like Sarah Ramos, who's this really funny, talented actress, and Angela Trimber. They set up like this foursome. We all went out. It was me, Angela, Caroline, and Sarah. And I knew Sarah and Angela, but I didn't know Caroline. And we just all hit it off right away. It was really fun. And then years later, I was doing Alone Together and Caroline submitted to be a writer. And I was like, oh, we have to hire this girl. She's so funny. You guys don't have no idea. Like, I can't believe she's available. Like, we have to hire her. So we bring her in for a meeting. Everyone fucking loves her. Like, we hire her. She's so funny. And we just totally kept realizing, working together every day, that, like, we're into all the same things. Like, she was like, I'm obsessed with what celebrities eat. I'm like, I'm obsessed with what celebrities eat. And, like, I'd be like, I fucking can't stop buying makeup. She's like, I can't stop buying makeup. So we just eventually were like, we're a podcast. I was like, Caroline, like, let's face the facts. We're a fucking podcast. We have to do it. And so we started recording then when we were working at Alone Together. We just, it's weird because she's from LA. I'm from Illinois. Like, we have different upbringings, but at the same time, we have so much crossover. So, yeah, she and I could talk to her, like, I could talk to her all day, every day, nonstop. I think she would be scared if she really knew how into her I was.
And so why did it wrap up? Is it because you guys were both busy? I mean, I know you did Dollface, which, brava.
Thank you. Such a
stellar show. And she is writing for James Corden. So is that why you guys had to stop it?
Yeah, it genuinely was just, like, getting hard to schedule. And she was taking this big trip. And then Dollface ended up being a much bigger commitment than I had initially thought it would be. So we just were like, let's take a break and we'll circle back. And then we just kind of, like, couldn't figure out when and how. But now we're trying to figure it out again because neither of us are working and we could totally do it over Zoom. So we just need to kind of – we also had really wanted to implement video. So we're just kind of figuring out what the best route is. But it was totally – I just saw there was, like, a big – dramatic. Did you see this last night? The Call Her Daddy podcast had, like, a major dramatic breakup. It wasn't like that.
Oh my God. It wasn't like that. I just listened to, like, a whole step-by-step deep dive into what happened between those two. And yeah.
What do you mean they had a breakup? They're like no longer.
Yes. Because I love what they've done in the space. And I love that they're, you know, these women fucking powerhouses of podcasts of the podcast world. And it's just so interesting how much power they've had. And then it's like a weird breakup between them two. And it's like, let's get you back together. Cause, like, when you guys are together, it is this energy. It's the same with you and Caroline. Like, I'm so happy that wasn't a falling out. And I don't think people think that, but, yeah, I mean, just, like, scheduling issues happen, and I mean, for the sake of the community, you guys need to come back for sure.
That makes me happy. I like hearing that.
Okay, wait. So we're almost done. We want to be respectful of your time. So we just have to ask you, what is your skincare routine? Just break it down. We got to know.
Okay, so I have done so much research, so much obsession in the skincare world. And I'm currently right now in a phase where I'm like, a less is more. Like, I'm trying to do as little as possible because from trying so many things over the years, I noticed that the more I was trying, that the more my skin would get kind of mad at me. So I would say that right now I wash my face with Drunk Elephant, just their jelly cleanser, whatever, because I have really dry skin. So if you have dry skin, I highly recommend that face wash. Even the Glossier Milky Jelly was too drying for my skin, which is, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So I do the Drunk Elephant face wash. And then I honestly, if it's night, I just slather on the F-bomb. I go heavy on the F-bomb. And then I try to avoid the sun during the day. But if I know I can't, I'll try to wear my Elta MD sunscreen. I use the physical version. They have so many different versions. It's confusing, but just pick one. You'll be fine. And honestly, that's it. And then quarantine makeup, if I'm having like a Zoom meeting, I'll just throw on a little Glossier mascara. And I'll do, I have it here, the Smashbox Custom Glow lip balm. It's kind of like a Dior Glow lip glow thing, or I'll in pink. And then I'll do my Dior lip glow in coral. Just to give you, like, because you don't want to be done. I don't personally want to be full face in a Zoom meeting for fucking quarantine. Like, it's not the right time. But I like having I like wearing what you would wear if you were a 13-year-old and what, like, what Cosmopolitan magazine told you to wear when you were 13. You just had a little mascara and a little lip gloss. Like, that's kind of my quarantine makeup mindset.
We are blessed.
I love it.
And then Scout, ask our favorite question to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if you could brag about one thing in your life, your career, your personal life, what would you brag about?
My dog.
And my don't dog. Be humble. If like
you- I know that doesn't seem good, but my dog is so perfect. She's so small and she smells so good and she's so sweet and like she's mischievous and she definitely like, you know, she's not a pushover, but I always just look at her and I'm like, I dreamed of you. I always wanted you. You're my dog. I love her. Donut. Little Donut.
Aww.
We love that. Oh, this was. Okay. Oh, sorry, Scott. Were you going to say something? Oh.
No. Okay. We're good. I was just going to comment on my dog, but it's fine.
You comment on your dog too much.
This was amazing.
What do you say about your dog?
I have two. One is a devil. She is 5 months old and she will not stop terrorizing my 11-year-old. The 11-year-old is a black Pomeranian. I purchased another black Pomeranian because I was getting afraid of the older one being old. So I cloned her, but this new one is
nothing
like
the old one. Wait,
you
didn't really clone her, did you?
She is. No, but they have the same exact coloring and they're the same breed.
But 5 months, like they're still kind of bad at that age.
Yeah, yeah, but she's amazing. I love her. I love both of them so much. But yeah, I feel you when it comes to being proud of. I'm not proud of my dogs. They're not trained or well behaved on any level. So that's my fault. But anyways, okay, Mads, you can wrap it up, girl.
Okay, Esther, this was a true delight. As one, like so tender, such a great like kickstart to our week. You're doing great. I just want to let you know that I know it's probably a weird, murky time, but honestly, we are so excited for your special. We wish you all the success and you're killing it, girl.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys. I'm back when the world is normal. Maybe you guys can come be on my podcast. It's called Esther Club. I would love for you to join.
Honor. Okay.
We'll be there. You tell us when.
Thank you so much, you guys. It's been so fun.
Wait. Yeah.
Let everyone know where they can find you.
Instagram, Esther Monster, my podcast, Esther Club, and my stand-up special is coming out on Comedy Central at 10 p.m. and it'll be streaming for free on their app. And that's it.
Awesome. And you can find us at OK Sis Podcast. Love you, sisters.